If you take your Bibles, let's go to the book of Revelation. We'll be starting in just a moment in chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Just a bit of a review. Remember, we're looking at apocalyptic literature. Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Revelation are books that are using apocalyptic literature to convey the message God wants to pass along to all of us. Now, apocalyptic literature, of course, will use symbols to communicate an absolute truth. And you interpret apocalyptic literature with other apocalyptic literature or additional passages of Scripture. By the way, we'll give you some evidences of how you interpret apocalyptic literature as we study through the book of Revelation. We're using the approach of interpreting Revelation referred to as the futuristic approach. We look at the Word of God, and in the book of Revelation, we take it literally if it seems to make normal sense, common sense, and it works to our benefit to take it exactly as what it is saying. By the way, we'll be able to recognize a symbol if that's what God is using in this apocalyptic literature. Remember the title of the book that we're studying, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we saw the person of Jesus Christ, a description of him there in chapter 1, and the power of Jesus Christ. The power made manifest in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. That verse is testimony to the key event in all of history. Jesus said, "I am he that was alive and dead, and I now stand before you alive." He was the one, the only one to resurrect from the dead. He proved by that he was who he said he was and can do what he said he would do. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the source of his authority to be able to predict the future. Remember in chapter 1, verse 19, he said, "Write down those things which were, those things which are, and those things which shall be hereafter." And that gave us somewhat of a natural outline of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, those things which were. Chapters 2 and 3, those things which are. And chapters 4 through 22, those things which shall be hereafter. By the way, let me remind you, I had an outline for the book of Revelation as well. Chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 1. A prelude to the tribulation period. In other words, what's going to happen before the tribulation. Chapter 4, verse 2 through chapter 19, verse 10. That was the program of the tribulation. 15 chapters of detailed information that will happen during that 7-year period of time referred to as the tribulation. Then in chapter 19, verse 11 through chapter 22, verse 21, we have the postlude to the tribulation, those events that happen prophetically after the return of Jesus Christ back to the earth, and thus after the tribulation period. What a great study, chapters 2 and 3, the messages to the seven churches with their similarities and their promises to those who are overcomers. Churches that were alive when John wrote the book in 95 AD, churches that describe periods of church history, and descriptions of churches that are alive and well on planet Earth today. Now, as we come in my outline to chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, verse 1 concludes the prelude to the tribulation. Verse 2 begins the 15-chapter description of the 7-year period of time called the tribulation. In chapter 4 and verse 1, we see John is going to change his position. And Jesus Christ, through the angel who is giving the message to John so he can write it down, has been showing him all that is going to take place. Go with me to chapter 4 and verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet." By the way, that phrase, "as it were," it's used 52 times in the book of Revelation. What it actually means is, and I'll illustrate this again as we come to these different instances of this phrase in the book of Revelation, it means it seems to be, but not really is. In other words, it seems like it was a voice of a trumpet, but it was not really that voice of a trumpet. Well, that's exactly what it's talking about here. "The voice of a trumpet I heard, as it were a trumpet, talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, That's an interesting phrase, come up hither. We'll see in chapter 11 that is the same phrase that is used to call the two witnesses into the heavenlies. That may well be what Jesus Christ will shout. Come up hither. Now, I don't have any dogmatic stand on that, but it seems like a good candidate for what he will shout to call us up to be with him. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, notice verse 2. And immediately, this is John speaking, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. So he moves from the earth to the throne room in the heavenlies. This is depicting the rapture of the church. In the study of the book of Revelation, I place the rapture of the church between chapter 4, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 2. Let me tell you what happens as we understand it from God's prophetic word relating to this rapture of the church. The procedure is laid out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Now, we've discussed this in previous sessions when we've studied about the main events in the future, the rapture being one of them. But what takes place is Jesus Christ is going to shout. That's verse 16 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Maybe it's the sound, come up hither. He will shout, then the voice of the archangel will shout, and the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who have already died, knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'll be someplace on this earth. They may be in a grave someplace. They may be in the middle of an ocean because of a drowning. They may have burned up in a fire and their ashes scattered all. We don't know exactly where they're going to be, but Jesus Christ, who brought them all into existence, will gather them. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. Of course, again, let me remind you, the word rapture is not used in the Bible. Rapturo, used in the Latin Vulgate, is where we get the word for rapture. We will be caught up to meet him in the air. Jesus Christ had referred to the rapture of the church in the upper room during the Passover Seder that evening, just before he would be crucified the next afternoon at 3 o'clock, when he said, recorded in John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, let not your heart be troubled. Now remember, he was talking to a group of very anxious young men who had traveled with him. They weren't exactly sure what was going to take place, so he was trying to encourage them to relax. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now notice, and if I go, I shall come again and receive you unto myself. The second coming of Jesus Christ, which is different than the rapture, is when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, we will be following him on white horses, stepping down on the Mount of Olives in the city of Jerusalem. But notice the phrase in John chapter 14 where he says, and I will receive you unto myself. That is Jesus Christ calling us up to join him in the heavenlies, and 7 years later we will return to the earth with him. The rapture of the church, the next main event in God's calendar of activities.